It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. It is the new year. And yet we don't have any new music, do we, Mark? Interesting. You know, it's like, I know you guys are all thinking, what does he do? He does a lot behind the scenes. New music, we'll put that on your to-do list. This part's not going to change. Do you think we should have a new intro, Mark? No, he likes this intro. Mark is a little more old school than you might imagine for a young man. Anyway, it's hour number two of Jill on Money. 855-411-JILL is our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. We have a very exciting guest today. In studio live, Bobby with an I, but not an IE, and no bubble dot over the I.
No.
Bobby Rebel.
You can say it.
Bobby Rebel.
You got it.
Bobby Rebel is, you probably have seen her. She's all over the place. You are award-winning?
Yes.
What award did you win?
I've won, actually, for some personal finance pieces I did back at Nightly Business Report.
Oh, I love Nightly Business Report.
Yep.
So let me just give you the whole bio. She's an award-winning TV anchor, personal finance columnist, formerly a reporter at PBS at Nightly Business Report, which I loved that show. Remember the...
Did you watch it?
With
Paul Kangas.
Yeah,
there. And Susie Garib, who is in the book we're going to be talking about, by the way.
She's here to hawk a book. Don't worry.
A good book.
Wait a second. So you had various producer positions at CNN and CNBC. And wait a second. That's how I know you, because my former producer at CBS News, Kim Kennedy,
yes,
a producer extraordinaire of CBS Evening News, said to me, you've got to talk to my friend Bobby. She just wrote a new book. I think you're going to like her. Boop, 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 boop. And you are a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania. Hurrah.
Quakers.
Hurrah, Pennsylvania. Hurrah for the red and the blue.
Yes. But you went to Brown, but that's okay.
I did, but my sister went to Penn, and she made me learn that. And my nephew just graduated from Penn.
All right.
Okay, so you are here to talk about your book, which we're going to do. But let's talk about you first.
Thank you.
All right, so where'd you grow up?
I was born in New York City, but I grew up really in the suburbs in New Jersey, Bergen County.
Wyckoff has a good bakery.
It does. I can't believe you said that, because this is unprompted. My very first job was at the Wyckoff Bakery in a polyester yellow uniform. And I was only 15 years old, and I remember being shocked. They made me pay $10 for that uniform.
Really?
On my first day of work, I'll never forget. Minimum wage job, Wyckoff Bakery in Wyckoff, New Jersey.
We're just counting them like crazy, though.
Yeah, well, I think they're out of business. I have to say. But they made me memorize every product on the list.
What was your favorite product on
brownies.
The list? Brownies.
Brownies.
Powdered sugar or no powdered sugar?
No powdered sugar. Good. But here's the thing with working in a bakery. You get over it real fast because the smell of the sugar, and you see the back room where they literally have, you know, pallets of the food ready, because they had four locations, but I was at the main location. And so you go to the back and you see all the baked goods kind of lined up in those industrial bins.
And it's nasty.
And it was very clean and everything, but it's just a lot.
Oh,
it's
man.
A lot of baked goods. You get over it real All fast. Right. And every time a product is damaged, they put it out for everyone to kind of snack on in the back.
Yeah.
So for the first day, you think, this is amazing. Free brownies every day. And you get over it real fast.
All right. Yeah. So Wyckoff Bakery.
My first job.
And you grew up what did you study at the University of Pennsylvania?
I studied communications.
Really?
Annenberg School for Communications. Yep.
And so how'd you know you wanted that?
I wanted to be a journalist. I remember writing for the paper in Wyckoff, New Jersey. They had a local paper, and I wrote about whatever current events were going on. So I started young. I was just into it.
Yeah. And so you studied. What did you study? Now, I, of course, am a fake communications person. I'm not even a journalist. So when you're in communications school.
Well, first of all, you are a journalist, but I think what you're alluding to is that you're the real deal, because you are actually a real financial advisor.
I was, but I didn't study communications. So what is it that you learned? In other words, a lot of times people will say to me, oh, what should my kid learn? Like, what classes or what majors? And I'm sure you get this question all the time. Like, I want a college education to pay off. So what do you study in communications that if you even if you didn't get into this business would be helpful in the real world?
I think that communications is maybe a more practical version of an English degree. And so it's well-rounded and you learn a little bit of everything. But I will tell you, I was mindful at the time of trying to be trying to kind of cover myself that I could go into business. And University of Pennsylvania has the Wharton School. So I did have a concentration, is what they call it, in marketing. And so that gave me a balance. So I always had the interest in business and in communication. And I think it's important if you do one of these broad majors to have some focus as well. And in retrospect, I regret not majoring in something more tangible.
Really?
I will tell you that right now. I did not listen to my father. I talk about it in the book a little bit that, you know, he really wanted me to work on Wall Street. He was a Wall Street guy.
What did he do?
And he was basically an investment banker.
And did he work at a big firm or for himself, a boutique?
He worked at a mid-sized firm. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up working in-house at a large conglomerate, let's say. And he was eventually the head of a large publicly traded company.
Can you tell us which one or not?
I don't want to get into my father too much.
All right.
We're going to leave it there.
We'll do that at the break. But why didn't you want to get into that? Because he worked his butt off and you're like, ugh, that sounds horrible.
Or you wanted the bug.
Did you want to write? Did you want to be on camera? What did you want to do?
I wanted to write. And then once I got into the business, I did want to be on camera because the truth is it was very hard to write. When you write in television, and my first job was at CNBC, when you say various positions, that's code for I was a grunt to start. I started at the very, very bottom as something called a news associate. And in fact, I started as an intern for years before that, even at CNN, interning for Lou Dobbs, for Maria Bartiromo, and so on, before she was the famous Maria Bartiromo.
And before he went over the cliff into insanity. Just FYI. No, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
It's okay. I ran the teleprompter.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's a valiant job for him.
So anyway, so when you work at the very bottom and you work as an unpaid intern and then you're working as a news associate, you see the way it works. And at the end of the day, I didn't want to write and have somebody else saying my words.
Oh.
I wanted to own my own material.
Interesting.
And that's what it became about. Yeah.
We are talking to Bobbi Rebell. She has written a new book. It's called How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. Proven advice from high achievers on how to live your dreams and have financial freedom. When we return, we're going to talk more about you and your life and the book, and then figure out how, like, people are going to take some information away from these tidbits of stories and what you have taken away from this as well, this process. Why not?
Absolutely.
All right, good. You're listening to Jill on Money. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. You can send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Tweet us. You can tweet your question, @JillOnMoney. You can also follow Mark on Twitter. He's doing a lot of tweeting actively. He's a man. He's a tweeter. He's a madman tweeter, @mtalercio, @mtalercio. It's Jill on Money, more with Bobbi Rebell when we return. We'll be right back.
Question, call anytime, 24-7, 855-411-JILL. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL, or send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We've got a great guest this hour, Bobbi Rebell, Jersey girl, so that's why Mark's giving you a little Bruce. So I just have to tell you a funny story. So we had a guest who's a young millennial. This is Mark's, like, least favorite moment. He loves this woman so much, but he played Bruce for her, and she didn't know who Bruce Springsteen was.
No.
It was bad.
No.
Mark fell out of love that moment. He just was looked at her like, are you kidding me? You don't know who this is?
Oh.
She didn't. Anyway.
I'm a Bon Jovi fan, by the way, though.
Really?
Yes.
All Jersey things.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Absolutely.
Bobby Rebell has written a book called How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. She was a reporter at PBS, Nightly Business Report, lots of positions, CNN, CNBC. And so you said during the break, you said, you know, I actually got into this business and you thought that broadcasting was sort of like, oh, just like a couple of years, I'll do this. So what happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I didn't think that I would be working in journalism that long because it's such a volatile career and it's so unreliable. So that's why, first of all, I went when I was at CNBC, I went and got my certificate in financial planning. I did not take the CFP exam because at the time they didn't allow journalists to take it and to become CFPs. You had to really be practicing. But so I had in mind that I was going to do something in the financial space. And I was, of course, doing financial journalism at CNBC. And the plan was I would see how long I could make it go. And when the round of layoffs came, which they came all the time in journalism, I would go and get my MBA and get the, quote, real job. Never got laid off, thankfully.
So that is thankful. Although, what did you think you wanted to be a financial planner? Because you did do the certificate in financial planning. Was that something that was interesting to you?
It was something that's always been interesting to me, and it still is. And most importantly, I wanted to know what I was talking about. I took a lot of classes. I took a class on the Fed, Jill. I took a class on technical analysis. And I do credit CNBC at the time because they did pay for those classes, which is a wonderful employee perk. And I do talk in the book about making sure you use the free stuff at your company. I learned a lot. I wanted to know my stuff so that when I was talking to somebody, I knew the right questions. And I knew when they didn't give me the right answer.
That's very important. Yeah. Did you take technical analysis at the New York Institute of Finance?
I did.
Did you have a teacher named Harrison something or other? This big, heavyset dude?
I don't think so.
And then I took a class at New York Institute of Finance with him. He did like options theory, and then he did a little technical analysis. And then I took technical analysis from Ralph Acampora, who made
yes,
the total.
That's who I think I had.
So
yes.
He was the guy who actually called the market crash in '87 and never made another call after that. But anyway, there's that. Okay, now let's get to the book. So this is called How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. Proven advice from high achievers on how to live your dreams and have financial freedom. So the purpose of this book is that, just look, by the way, I read it. I actually highlighted it. You know, I did this
stuff. I'm seeing this. You did. You even highlighted.
First of all, so you picked a lot of different types of people. How did you determine who to select who would be on your high achiever list?
Well, I first of all, I just went on and talked to people. I started with Steve Adler, editor-in-chief, and I got him on board. And that was really important because he's a role model to me, and I think he's done an amazing job at Reuters. So that was role model number one. And then, of course, I did what every journalist does. I milked him for information and got his suggestions and kind of went from there. So, for example, he suggested Jim Cramer. And you'll see Jim Cramer's in the book. Thank you, Steve Adler. So I went from there, and then I built it thinking, who is going to have something meaningful to say about financial literacy? So, for example, PwC, the consulting firm, they have a program called Earn Your Future, where they do a lot of data and a lot of outreach in the financial literacy space. So I got them on board, and I built it from there. I also just went out in my daily life and asked people, who would be good? So, for example, Ivanka Trump is in the book because
hold it,
I was,
stop right yeah. now. Hold on a second. So Ivanka Trump is
yes.
not just in the book. She is the first interview.
She is
interview.
The first one.
Now, my big question about that is, did you make her the first one before the whole election season
yes.
began?
Yes, I did. Because I'm making a very important statement there.
Okay, so let me just read from the book for a second. Ivanka has become an independent entrepreneur and business leader with her own identity, despite being the child of one of the most iconic, headline-grabbing businessmen and politicians.
He had just, when we adapted it, he had just announced, I think, because this, you know, books take a long time.
Right.
Right, right. When she was in the book, we had no idea in the world when I originally connected with her that her father would run for president. This was 2 years ago. In a million years, I had no idea
it's so
that
awesome.
She would be in official meetings with prime ministers of Japan.
Using
and
information
such.
To advance
Crazy.
Her career and her her companies. So let me ask you a question. How would you compare Ivanka Trump and her kind of forging her way versus the way Donald Trump did, knowing what you know about him. In other words, both had incredible advantages with family money, family business.
Absolutely.
And my takeaway is she actually seems like a more Hamish human being. Hamish, ladies and gentlemen, Yiddish for like a good person, a good head on your shoulders. Like she seems kind of like a decent human being, which I would credit the mother.
The story does involve Ivana, not
okay,
Donald.
Exactly.
Give away a little bit.
Right. Whereas he sounds like he's like a daddy complected guy. My daddy was mean. I had to live with blah, 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 whatever. So why do you think what is her takeaway and what are we to take away from that if we were not all born on third base?
True.
Right.
And not everyone is, but some people are.
Okay.
And I do make that point in this book that if you are born on third base, don't mess it up.
Right.
And right. A lot of rich kids really mess it up. And I think that's an important point to make. And I also make the point, to some degree through Tony Robbins, that get over it. If you know, we don't all start at the same place. Everyone has a different starting line, but the finish line is really yours. And I know that's getting a little bit whatever, but I believe it. I mean, I believe it. I'm paraphrasing basically what Tony Robbins says, who's also in the book and was kind enough to write the foreword, but you need to get over it. There's always someone with more. I mean, there's always going to be someone.
In your interviewing all of these people, was there some overriding surprise that you got out of this?
There were so many surprises.
Give me one before we go to the break.
Sally Krawcheck.
What about her?
Sally Krawcheck shared a story, and it's something she's talked about publicly, but she shared it in a very graphic way. And I got the email from her in the middle of the night. I think she probably wrote it on a plane, the way our email exchange was going. And by the way, with all these people, especially with women, you say, I need it in a month, and you get it back like immediately. It was crazy.
Uh-huh.
From their direct emails. People were amazing. But I got it back, and I wasn't sure she understood this was for publication.
And what did she say that was surprising?
Well, she was very graphic in how her marriage fell apart. We'll leave it there with a teaser.
Okay. Let me just say that my lesson to share, because you have the grown-up moment. Each person has the grown-up moment.
Right.
And then they
questions.
Share. And then they say, what's the lesson to share? And let me just read Sally Krawcheck's. Any number of years on, my advice is for all of us to be engaged in our finances. Stuff happens. Stuff you don't expect, right? People get divorced. People die. And we have to be kind of ready for that. And I love that message, because I think that people too often, I think it's fine to outsource to your spouse, like, okay, you're going to do that, I'm going to do that. But it's not okay to outsource your responsibility in the process. That's just my two cents. Hey, when we come back, more with Bobby Rebell. She's the author of How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, proven advice from high achievers on how to live your dreams and have financial freedom. You're listening to Jill on Money. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
The cure to your financial problems could be a phone call away. 855-411-JILL is the number to dial. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. Don't worry, we are going to put a link to Bobby Rebell's new book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. It's not that new.
Couple months, actually.
Couple months.
Time goes by.
Amazing. Okay, so you've interviewed all these people, men, women. You just made a funny remark about how the women responded to you and got back to you very quickly after you're making a request, which essentially in this book is that basically people are being very out there with their own stuff, right? My financial grown-up moment, like this moment where something important happens in your life, and then the lesson that that person wants to share. And you said the women wrote you back immediately. Were there any other gender differences that you found interesting?
Cars. So many of the men's stories have cars. They're obsessed, right? So yep. We had Terry Lundgren literally almost turned down a job because of the afford. He wanted a certain car, and a job at Xerox would have paid more, and he could have afforded a better job than the job he ended up taking. Elliot Weissbluth talks about deciding not to buy a fancier car. So many. It's in PwC's CEO. He talks about the car, all these car stories. He sold his car to buy his first house.
I love that. That's
so
very
Bob
funny.
Moritz. And yeah, so there was a running theme. Jim Cramer living out of a car when he was robbed. So the cars, men always came back to cars.
Hmm.
And women were much more diverse in their stories.
And
often had to do with family, I will say. More the, family
the men,
stories.
The women. Yeah, the lot of daddy-complected people there for sure. Like, oh, I didn't have a daddy, so I listened to this when he was my dad. Which, okay, I'm a father-complected girl myself.
We all are,
so,
to some
I mean,
degree.
I just, that's, everyone knows that. So I found I thought the most interesting one that jumped out at me was Sir Martin Sorrell, who is from WPP, which is a big, obviously, ad agency. And he was so out there, and I loved it because he said, he basically is like, he's not sure he buys the work-life balance, which I totally don't.
He believes you live your job and you need to live and breathe it and love it.
And he also said something that I think is so antithetical in this age, but I kind of love the advice. It's such a throwback. I think you should build a reputation with one company, build a career with one company. Then if you fancy doing something on your own, he's British, having got knowledge or a reputation in that industry or particular industry, then go ahead and do it. And he says, I'm biased. What I think was interesting about that is I'm not sure that is something that's valued in this marketplace anymore. What do you think?
I think that you're making a good point, and I think that Sir Martin Sorrell makes a good point. We have a lot of people that believe that because they're young, they should be instant entrepreneurs, but I do think there's a value in taking the corporate route. If you want to be an entrepreneur, let's say in the beauty space, maybe you get a job for 5 years at a top beauty company, learn the business, learn the contacts, and you might have a better shot. But there is this entrepreneurial myth out there where you just have to go for it. I don't know that people do it these days as much as maybe a decade ago, but this whole, well, you have a brilliant idea, go leave Harvard and you'll be the next Mark Zuckerberg. It doesn't quite work that way. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of failures the failures don't get the publicity, and that's what you don't see. And there is a value to learning what you're doing first and then going out in a more solid position to follow your dream.
We're talking to Bobbi Rebell. She is a journalist, author of a book called How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, Proven Advice from High Achievers on How to Live Your Dreams and Have Financial Freedom. And so you have these interviews, Ivanka Trump, Tony Robbins, Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely daddy complected for sure.
Complicated.
Yeah, no kidding.
But really impressive, by the way. I went after I interviewed her. I did go and read her book, Wildflower. She's interesting. Really interesting. I would check it out.
Oh, all right. There's a plug for
you. I was pretty, yeah. And I just, you know, I met her as a journalist. I don't know her, but she was very impressive. She's achieved quite a bit. She is not what a lot of people think in terms of the stereotype that she had this very famous grandfather. She really made herself. I was really impressed with her.
That's cool.
I was.
In each of the chapters, after you have the story, you give some financial planning advice, mm-hmm. right? And what is it after you did that certificate program at NYU in financial planning? What surprised you that people don't get about the financial planning process?
That you have to pay attention. There's so much that you can automate these days, and I think that's a really important thing. But you have to actually do that. You have to sit down and say, when I take a job, I'm going to actually sign up for the 401k. It often happens automatically now. But I remember my first job at CNBC, the HR person sat me down and said, you will do this. You will do the maximum matching so that you get every penny that we're going to give you. And I'm not going to discuss it any further. And a lot of people, don't get around to doing that stuff, the automatic stuff that's so important. So setting things up correctly, and then you can go live your life.
And what about...
Because time goes by.
Oh, yeah, that's for
sure. It just happens.
What about, were there complicated things or things that you yourself didn't realize about the planning process that you came away from going through that experience where you were different on the air or different in your columns, the way that you approached your job? Did it change after getting more education?
I think I was able to ask better questions because I understood more what was going on.
And did you have a good BS sniffer?
I think so. I hope so.
I'll tell you why I ask that, because I feel like because I come from the industry, because I, you know, started my life as a trader, and I think that that is a complete BS industry, and I was happy to be part of it, but it's like silly and smoke and mirrors, and people try to think it's like, oh, it's a science. It's so not. But okay. That said, it's such a science that we now have computers doing it, so these guys don't have jobs anymore. But I think what's really helpful is that when you get a request for media, that you can sniff it out and be like, oh, I get it. This is an insurance company who wants to sell whole life. This is not someone who wants to do financial planning. So when we come back, I want to talk about that, because there's a part of the book that I think is like, a tiny little issue with it. Not a big one, a tiny one. And I want to get your feedback. You're listening to Jill on Money, and we're talking to Bobby Rebell. If you want to get her book, go onto our website, jillonmoney.com. We'll link up, and you can give it to every single person you know. Everyone, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
K, IRAs, refinancing. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Broadway is
dark tonight. You're back with Jill on Money. 855-411-JILL is our phone number, our email address, AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We're so happy because we get Bobby Rebell, famous journalist, author, broadcaster, author of this new book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, Proven Advice from High Achievers on How to Live Your Dreams and Have Financial Freedom. Such an interesting layout of the book, because you have all these different people who share very personal stuff, which is, by the way, one of the best parts of being a financial advisor, even though you never did it. But it's sort of like being a journalist, and it's like the worlds collide a little bit for me, because I'm a voyeur. So I love to, like, ooh, tell me about yourself. Right. So that's how I like to start these conversations. So in your book, you and let me just also say that Bobby with an I, short for Roberta, obviously.
Barbara.
Oh, Barbara.
Barbara. Yes.
Barbara. Oh,
Barbara.
Barbara. Yes. I think you're more of a Bobby than a Barbara.
OK.
I think that makes sense. I like that. Bobby. OK. So you did go through the process of getting a certificate in financial planning from New York University.
Yes.
And so you have a base of knowledge that's pretty it's a much broader base, I think, than a lot of other people who are financial journalists, most of whom just study it, write about it, and it becomes part of them, which I get. So here's your, it's not a but. So one of the guys that you interview in the book is Roger Crandall. Is that how
yes.
you pronounce it?
Crandall.
Crandall. And so he is the chairman, president, and CEO of MassMutual Life Insurance Company. And in this, you said that the MassMutual recognized the need to get people interested in paying more attention to their finances. Now, what I might have written as my next sentence, because I'm a bad person, is so that he could sell them lots more insurance products. But would you, because you're nicer and you're a better human being than I am, you then wrote, the company started the Society for Grownups, which provides accessible and realistic financial advice for emerging adults, offering classes, chats, supper clubs, networking events, even individual sessions with certified financial planners. The goal, make it easy to get started so that people actually get started, which always sounds great. It's just like my friend Helene Olin likes to say, financial literacy sounds so great in the abstract. It's like, how could you not be for financial literacy? It's like saying, I hate baseball and apple pie. But my concern is that so many of these companies are in the under the guise of financial literacy and we want to help grown-ups, all they're doing is they're sort of perpetuating the sale of crap that people don't need. And insurance salespeople tend to be some of the worst offenders of this. So what is it about, like, so can you sniff through that yourself as you're talking to someone like that and say, like, but come on, you know, like, you're peddling whole life, variable life, when people just need term insurance? Would you ever say that to him? Or you can't, because, like, he's a nice guy and he's trying to do good?
Well, first of all, that's a loaded question. So first of all, let me just compliment Helene Olin because she's amazing.
Yes.
And she actually was very supportive of this book and gave me a lot of great advice. So I love Helene. And The Index Card is a great book if anyone's looking for something after they read Financial Grown Up. You know, I think that this book is meant to be a blueprint and a motivator and to give you basic information. But at the end of the day, you have to own the financial decisions that you make and you need to read what you're signing and what you're buying.
Can I interrupt you for one second, though?
Yeah.
Because I agree with that. And I think that's a great lesson that we learned from the crisis. My concern, though, is because we don't make our financial professionals adhere to the fiduciary standard, that we are putting so much on consumers. Like, you know what? Yeah, you should read everything. But the guy selling you stuff should be selling something that's in your best interest.
Yes. And that's the fiduciary rule, which I'm glad that you brought up, because that's a new thing that's happening, is the fiduciary. And people need to understand the difference, because believe it or not, people can be financial advisors. They're really just salespeople. You need, when you go to get financial advice, to ask, are you a fiduciary? And the difference is that a fiduciary has to sell you something that's not just appropriate. Because right now, I mean, there's two sets of rules. You can have someone that's a salesperson that says they're a financial advisor. They have to sell something that's appropriate. But what's appropriate is a very wide range of things.
Yes, suitable, I believe.
Suitable. Mm-hmm. Yes, suitable is, I think, the actual term. That does not protect you. A fiduciary has to sell you something that's actually in your best interest.
So
you can, you're a CFP, so you can actually say the exact difference. But that's basically the idea. And that is something that is, for the better, changing in the financial industry. And it's something that I've talked about at Reuters, that we are paying more attention to, and it and is a good thing, and is something we need to talk more about.
Absolutely. And I would really, I'm going to make this pitch. I'm going to let you stay on for the fifth segment, which we don't let a lot of people do. So I'm going to get on my soapbox here. So for all of you financial people who are fighting so hard to water down the fiduciary standard and crying your heart out about, no, it's so much better because then you can keep your loaded mutual funds in here and do this. Yes, there are certain cases where owning a commission-based product is fine. That doesn't have anything, your fee model has nothing to do with doing right by your client. And I wish the industry would stop fighting so hard against putting the client first. That's my complete peeve about that. So anyway, you only bring that up because you have an insurance guy and it's fun to beat up on the insurance industry. Hold on. Segment five is about Bobby Rebell's own financial advice. You put yourself in here about your financial grown-up moment.
Yes.
And what advice you can offer, which is going to be so much fun. All right, you're listening to Jill on Money. Hasn't this gone by fast? 855-44-411-JILL. Email us, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. We're finishing up the show with Bobby Rebell. It's all about Bobby and her great book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, Proven Advice from High Achievers on How to Live Your Dreams and Have Financial Freedom. Okay, Bobby, you put yourself in the book and tell me your financial grown-up moment.
I bought real estate in New York City in a down market, but I wanted to be an owner and I wanted to have control over my life, and it was scary, but it worked out because I now can live in New York City.
That's awesome.
Which I love.
It's so great. That's a good story because it's scary to do that. It's scary to like force yourself to put money into your portfolio and the market's melting down. It's scary to do all those things. Our minds are very, very strong and can create these traps of emotional landmines, in fact. So I think that's great. And so what's the lesson to share?
The lesson is think about the life you want to have, your priorities, and while being cognizant of the market, make a choice. And in my case, I wanted to live in New York City. That's the life I wanted. I was born in New York City, and I live just a few blocks from where I was born.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's great.
I love it.
All right, great.
I feel very fortunate.
So you want me to do my financial grown-up moment?
Yes.
My financial grown-up moment was walking away from an incredibly lucrative job as a trader on Wall Street, as a commodities trader. And because I'm daddy complected, it was about with my father where he came into my apartment on the Upper East Side and he looked at my P&L and he said, oh, my God, you had such a great month. And I said, nah. And he goes, what do you mean, nah? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, it was a great month. He goes, well, you know what, honey? This is a business that's only about making money. That's it. That's the only thing you're going to do. You're not going to bring a company public. You're not going to mentor people. It's a vicious business. My dad was a trader. And it has great hours. You can make a great living. And I said, uh-huh. And I thought about that. And he said, and if you don't like this, it's okay. You don't have to follow my footsteps. It's okay. And I gave myself permission. And I never made as much money as I made in that 1 month for 10 more years.
Wow.
So my...
And your lesson?
Walk away if you can. But don't if you can't, by the way. You can walk away, then do it. All right. Bobby Rebell, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jill.
And it's Jill on Money. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com is our email address. Go to the website, jillonmoney.com. You can buy Bobby's book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.